In a world of digital card apps, one man...
There's actually two of them.
Two men.
And sometimes a guest.
Two men and sometimes a guest will guide us on a journey there and back again.
No one's traveling. It's a podcast.
The Digital Cross-Trading Podcast. And now, the hosts of the DXT Podcast, Aaron Vine and Mark Brunetti.
Hello, everybody. It's the DXT Podcast. I'm Aaron Viney78 on all tops, apps, and quid. And I'm procrastinating _com on Upper Deck EPAC.
Well, good morning, Aaron. This is Mark. I am Drake Iago on all the tops apps. It actually sounds like there's this stuff actually going on in the tops apps, but I'm not.
There is.
But it does seem like some cool stuff's going on. it looks like some, like, anniversary stuff, which, you know, what is that, like, years or something? Right? Is that
it's years, definitely years. I forget how many years it is. Eight years, amazingly enough.
Yeah, I messed up our podcast season thing. I don't know how I got up to eight, but I'm up. I've been in season eight now for a while of our podcast. You know, label it, you say what season it is. I mean, we've done a crap ton. I haven't gone back and counted them, but
yeah.
But we've been doing 8 years. But I can't go back now. From my OCD-ness says I can't go back to seven. Right? Like, cause no sense. Because then I'd have to update the older ones before that and stuff. So anyway. So we're not going to talk about the app, but we are going to talk about, finally, we're going to talk about Bad Bats for a little bit, just in time for us to see anyway. So you missed a bunch, okay? So we're going to do a real quick, like, 5 minutes total on Bad Batch, okay? And
sure.
And so you missed the first episode, which was the continuation of this episode where they're stranded on a rock. And they're stranded on some planet, and they meet some kids who are working in a mine.
Yeah.
And there's really, I mean, literally, that one was so, ugh. All right. I mean, it was fine. It was fine, but it was just so, like, there's nothing really to say about it, right?
Right.
I mean, they didn't really explore anything new. That guy and kids. Okay, fine. You knew how that was going to end almost from the exact second that it began. Then we got into a good episode, which was the an introducing kind of a reset of the villains, right? This Dr. Hemlock or something like that. Like, whatever his name is. Goodness, freaking Star Wars. and that was a decent episode because, well, number one, it was just cool, right? The action was cool. This big Zillow monster was cool, right? Especially how it starts off. I mean, I don't know about you, but that was like one of the most scary, like, kind of settings that Bad Batch has ever done. It was like almost horror, jump scare kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty spooky.
Yeah, so with that said, though, the real key parts of it were the fact that you now got this new villain, and he's really got it together. He knows everything. He's suddenly very effective, this guy. I don't think we've ever met. I'm pretty sure we have met this guy before, but I don't know exactly sure how we've met this guy before. I'm not sure it was.
Right. I'd have to go back and see.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up. But suppose just the way they kind of introduced this guy and the way everybody talked to him, it definitely made it felt like this guy was known and that we should know him. So at the end, for some reason, they think that getting this Omega, who everyone thinks is dead, for the Kaminoans would make her, which is kind of stupid, right? If we capture this girl, we can then make her work on our cloning technology. Okay.
That's how you took it at the end of the episode?
No. When I say her, I'm doing bad pronouns.
Oh, okay.
If we capture the girl, then the Kaminoan lady will agree.
Right.
Work on our cloning stuff. That's yes. Right. That's what I think. That's the point.
Okay. Yeah.
How many of those? How many of those ideas have ever worked in any subject matter or any piece of entertainment you've ever watched? That thing. So are you scared?
Well, I mean, there may be some like light torture on Omega until, you know, she gets saved or until, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm scared.
Yes. So you're scared, right? So we left that episode. Honestly, before we left that episode, I was kind of, after that episode ended, I'm like, okay, great. Now we got an actual, like, okay, this is cool. Right. So the Bat Batch has got to get dragged into this whole problem. And she's going to end up somehow at Mount Tantus. And we're going to suddenly get these awesome reveals. And maybe there's a clone Jedi there. Maybe there's a, you know, maybe some of the stuff from Thrawn is going to be there, you know, from the Thrawn books. Maybe Grogu would be there. You know, all these idiotic thoughts that we have about Bad Batch.
Right.
So then, you know, that it's going to suddenly turn into something that really matters, right? That's what that's what our anticipation is.
Right.
So the next episode was a really good episode, or at least everyone says it's a really good episode, and I say it is a good episode, yes, with Crosshair, right? But I was debating with Rick in the chat room, and yes, I'm glad because Crosshair has done some things where I keep thinking that he's gonna like realize what he's doing, but he like doubles down on, you know, on it. So, and they've done it a couple of times. So I guess there was a small chance of me going that this was just going to be another time that he was giving it, but really, right. I mean, this idiotic Imperial officer, Nolan. Okay. this idiot was so idiotic in his bad attitude. It didn't make any sense, right? Why he was just such an asshole. Excuse my French, right?
Well, it makes total sense to me. I mean, there's actually people in the world like that. Are you kidding me? There's actually people in this world that are so pompous and so freaking, like, uptight and pull up their ass, and their way is the highway.
If they're in a position of power, it's because even though they are an a-hole, at some point they were probably capable enough to get to where they are. Okay, now maybe he's such an example of just absolute waste that maybe he came from a good family and they paid his way into becoming an immediate captain. Okay. Or lieutenant. He's a lieutenant. He's not even, I mean, a lieutenant. I hate to tell you guys, lieutenants are not very high up. Okay. They're like the almost the lowest form of officer in the army.
I kind of gathered that I don't know all the rankings and stuff like that, but yeah, lieutenant, I mean, I didn't think he was that high of a ranking officer. That's why he was sent out to, the snow, planet.
Yeah, to retrieve
where no one else
these supplies
where no one else would want to go.
Reason, yeah, to retrieve these supplies that for some reason they didn't. I guess they didn't have a ship with long enough range to get it to where it needs to go. So they sort of just dropped it off. They sort of just dropped it off on this ice planet so that they could pick up later these uniforms. Anyway, he was such an a-hole that literally anybody would shoot this idiot at the end, right? So, I mean, now and the clone was a commander. Now, I don't, you know, they I don't know what they do in Star Wars. Their ranks are completely goofy, but a commander is like a major or almost like a lieutenant colonel. Okay, very high. Okay, a commander. A commander could also be like a platoon commander or a company commander. Like it's also a position of authority, not necessarily a rank. So how is a clone commander should outrank a lieutenant? But it didn't seem like it. It seemed like lieutenant outranked the commander. So who knows? That's weird. But I think that was a good episode because the characterizations were. I mean, I liked that guy. What's his name? Mayday. Boy,
Mayday was cool.
What is that word when they let you know things are going to happen? What's that called?
Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing, right? Yeah. Mayday. Okay. So that means he's always in trouble, right? So he was in trouble there. Anyway, good episode, but really, I mean, it's good only because it wasn't kiddie stupid, right? What are your opinions?
So I'm surprised that you think it was a good episode just because it wasn't kiddie stupid. You don't think that just the tension was good and
tension.
The conversation. There's a lot of tension.
Well, I think the tension was intended to be really tense, right? But when one character is a freaking quote cartoon character, literally and figuratively, right? It kind of drops the tension because you know what's going to happen. This guy is such an idiot. Someone at some point, you're just waiting for the entire episode of someone to just slug this idiot, okay? So now the conversations between Mayday and Crosshair were fantastic. Yeah. And the part that's really just stupid about all of this is it doesn't make any sense. The clones are effective, loyal troopers who they willingly want to serve, and there's a crap ton of them. And for some reason, the Empire, even though they got tons of other things to do, they care about replacing these guys. It makes no sense.
Well, we may find out soon enough some more information, but about why that is. Maybe they have something up their sleeve that they'll be coming out eventually about why that is. But in terms of the conversations, like, I'm not really thinking about, like, oh my god, like, how does the Empire want to get rid of these guys? You know, I kind of accept that that's, you know, what the storytelling is yeah. telling us.
Exactly.
But, like, you got Crosshair that's starting off the journey, and he's like, you're dead weight if you're dead. And then he's finishing up the journey with him being like, I'm going to carry this dude back. I mean, you didn't appreciate that at all from Crosshair?
I definitely did. I appreciated that part in that he suddenly woke up and suddenly, for some reason, realized that all the people that he'd been fighting for all this time, fighting with and stuff, he actually gives a crap about his fellow soldiers, which is, that is not a common, the way that Crosshair feels about soldiers up until that point when he decided to carry this guy on his back is not a common sentiment of soldiers. Okay? So, soldiers, if anybody, are people that can't stand the people that are giving them orders. They honestly can't stand war. They can't stand the people that they're helping necessarily, but what they can stand is their fellow soldiers. They go through war just because they're just trying to save their buddy and they don't want their friend to die because they have to boil it down to something, right? War is such a stupid concept that, so the fact that, Crosshair has to be convinced of why he should care about his fellow soldiers is a little hard to really feel the weight of it, because it doesn't make sense why he would feel that way in the first place. If anything, he would be like, you know, he shouldn't need convincing to like his fellow soldier. It's ingrained into a soldier, right?
I don't think that's really fair. So, I mean, Crosshair, for the most part, I mean, I don't know how much time is taking place during these episodes, but for the most part, he's by himself and pretty much mentally and physically alone. Like, he's like a clone amongst stormtroopers for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think it's unfair to say that he's like totally mentally messed up in multiple ways, that, you know, he doesn't even know, you know, right from wrong. Like, he's at the point where he's like just almost like tunnel vision.
Yeah. You
know, following order.
He does have that big wound on his head, which I think, you know, he obviously has got to be suffering from some type of thing. So anyway, I like Crosshair. So I'm not going to sit here and debate you too much on the merits of Crosshair and the soldier. If anything, that was the best part of the. That's the best part of the show. And
but what'd you think of the part where, like, they're going on this really big mission. The jerk was like, you have to go even against all the odds. And then they're like blowing up all these like people that are stealing, like, whatever. And then one of the cases open up and there's freaking uniforms in it. How'd you feel when Crosshair saw that?
You take yourself along with the what they're trying to tell the viewer, right? The viewer is being told, what we're supposed to be getting told is that these guys are literally being thrown away to protect stuff that they literally could just put on, right? And they needed that equipment, right? So it just drips more with that whole, I'm going to have all of this effort to do things to simply just, I mean, now it's not just that we don't want the clones. It's, we're going to be spiteful about it, right? We're going to make these clones. We're going to really literally just assign them to places that we just hope they all die off. And we'll have them protect these boxes that actually have stuff that can help them survive, but they can't open it.
Yeah.
So again,
like, I felt like horrible. I felt horrible for them when I saw that. I was like, oh my God.
Horrible. Why wouldn't you feel horrible for them?
That's the whole horrible. Yeah. Well, I know. I think they did that really well. I'm like, oh my God, they're in this freezing weather. There's brand new uniforms. You have Mayday that's like got like a bandana wrapped around them 15 times.
Yeah.
They have been toilet paper for all I know. And they have all these nice fancy uniforms that they wouldn't even let them wear. And then on top of it, they're sending them into the snow to try and retrieve them. And there's really, who cares?
Right. Aaron, it's called setting up a bad guy. This whole thing about all the clones and they're trying to get rid of the clones is because the writers need to come up with something. They had to come up with a story that makes us feel like clones are victims, right? We go from feeling that the clones betrayed the Jedi, right, to now what do we got to do when we have a show about clones? We even talked about it, right?
Yeah.
When we first heard the idea of Bad Batch, we said, what would be the point of showing Bad Batch? The Bad Batch can't possibly be part of the clone army. Who would want to watch a show about the bad guys, right? And so what they said, they thought the same thing. They said, we can't come up with a show that's about clones after Order 66, because it would make no sense. Who would watch a show about bad guys representing the Empire? So what we will do is, how do we make these guys the good guys? Well, you say, Well, there's no clones around in New Hope. So we'll say that the Empire, after Order 66, decided that they didn't want this plentiful resource of soldiers willing to die for them. They'd rather throw them all away and replace them with idiots who can't shoot. So let's do that. And we'll be, not only will we do that, we'll do it in a way that's sinister and is really mean to the clones, so that by episode 4 or 5, the audience starts feeling sympathy for the clones. And we'll just keep digging into that, and we will create this situation where, for some reason, this Empire is just wanting to really be really mean to our favorite people on the show, and we're going to have a good plot. And then we could have a good arc and all that stuff. It's contrived. So
they did a really good job of it in this episode.
Right. If you take everything out of the situation, you say, let's simply create this as a situation where Crosshair can be in a situation where he has to go through stress with a clone that really represents everything that he should be representing, right? Loving your fellow soldier, being, you know, and also caring about the mission, and also, you know, being a good soldier too, right? That you put a character like that around Crosshair and it melts his heart, or at least turns something in his head, right? That, to me, was the best thing they did in the episode. So because of that, I think it's a decent episode. And it's cool at the end that he shoots Nolan. So, I mean, but what else can you really say?
I think it's a great episode. I just keep saying it's a great episode. And 2 thumbs up.
All right, man. All right. So, and following that, right?
Yeah.
That, right? So now we're hitting 2 episodes that I think we could argue are moving things forward in a good thing. You have this one episode that's starting this new chapter with the guy wanting to help find Omega. You have then Crosshair being captured at the end, and you know they'll probably find out that they'll find out from him that Omega still lives, right? Because they're going to ask him about 99. And so all this is great, right?
Yes.
So why did they then decide that what we really need now is another dumb episode where, for some reason, out of the blue, the lady makes a comment about to Omega about, hey, don't you have any friends? No, I don't have any friends. And then coincidentally, she's about to go to a planet where there's a little girl that, I mean, it's like, boy, when you bring up the issue in the beginning of the episode, and coincidentally, that issue is then addressed in a more you know, ding, 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 freaking arc in the show, it's kind of stupid. That is that is so kiddie, dumbed down dumbness.
Well, you know, it's been about 3 generations since there's been a tidal wave, but I guess it might as well happen when the Bad Batch is on the planet.
We could go all day with this idiotic episode. That episode was so stupid. I mean, what was the point of the tidal wave in the first place? Right? Like,
I thought it was going to be an animal.
They were already thinking about staying even before the tidal wave. Then the tidal wave happens, and now they really want to stay. But they didn't need a tidal to convince
them.
Tidal wave. You know what?
I think that's a little bit weird, actually, because like if there's a tidal wave, I would definitely be leaving. So I mean, like,
well,
God bless the Bad Batch.
Yeah, I guess. Honestly, their turnaround saying like they were so impressed by the how much people got together, or I guess pulled together. Yeah. Help them. Who the hell knows?
I am just so thankful that they saved that old man and carried him all the way up over the wall.
Yeah, because I was worried about that too. I really yeah. invested. I was invested with that.
Yeah.
And I was really just a total waste of wait. I mean, a total. I mean, who is? I mean, seriously, who is sitting around coming up with these ideas?
Well, you know, they could go to this planet, and there's going to be a huge tidal wave, and then that's going to make them want to stay.
But yeah, right. So I mean, them wanting to like stay and leave Sid, which I think the absolute most important part of the show was the fact that they left Sid, and that Sid now openly threatened them. Okay, yeah. So I never liked Sid. I don't like Wanda Sykes' character anymore. Maybe a tiny bit more than Sid's character. Okay. But it's weird now how we needed them to leave Sid. So how did they make it? They made Sid into, she went from, a sarcastic, but slightly caring for them, person in the first season to now, since they need to move on, right? What do? They go, okay, so what we need to do is we need to make Sid now literally like every episode just really just being just every episode for her to keep doubling down on just being just really unreliable and just not. And so anyway, she's gone through a metamorphosis just so they could say we're going to leave Sid when they should just be leaving Sid just because, right? They should be leaving Sid again. It's like the show needs to make these reasons, these obvious slap you in the face reasons why the Bad Batch does things. Bad Batch does things. Or why anybody does things. And I'm just saying they don't need to be so heavy handed with all of these stupid things. The Empire doesn't need to be literally racist toward clones, right?
Right.
Sid,
I'm just gonna give you a heads up that we got 15 minutes to talk about Mandalorian.
Oh man, dang it! All right. So, what a weird Mandalorian episode. First of all, even though I guess I never really felt danger for Bo-Katan or Din, really. That was a cool. Like space battle or fighter battle in the beginning.
Yes, right? I loved it. Yeah.
Okay. I kind of wish Bo-Katan's ship would have gotten hit a few more times. Right. I mean, the amount of energy that they fired out of those cannons to literally hit one time on that ship was kind of silly. But I mean, there's no reason why they couldn't made it like really dire, right? And that's what they wanted to do, right? That was the point of that whole thing, right? Was that they're coming back from the planet. They're coming back to their planet. All of a sudden, a bunch of TIE fighters, TIE interceptors, which I thought was awesome. But these have no hyperdrive, okay? And there's a ton of them. And she even makes the comment. She says, that's a lot of fighters for a warlord. Okay. So I love it. I love what they're hinting at. That means there's gotta be a Star Destroyer around there somewhere, Aaron. I'm telling you, there's gotta be a Star Destroyer around there somewhere. I hope there's a Star Destroyer. I want to see a Star Destroyer. We did get to see Star Destroyers though, right? So that was cool.
We got to see a very interesting Star Destroyer.
So that was cool. So I guess, tell me, what are your feelings about the whole Bo-Katan not mentioning anything about the Mythosaur, her kind of keeping it under her hat, and her kind of going all the way over there, and it's like, how are we going to get Bo-Katan and the armor together? Because I think what they're trying to do is, I think they're trying to redeem Bo-Katan through plot, right? And I think, so not only does she had a great episode last week.
Yeah.
She had a decent episode this week and she kept her helmet on. And in essence, she sort of, at least for this episode, she's kind of like the way. She's following the way. Right.
Yeah, man. She's, listen, she's got a new clean slate, so she's officially following the way. And, you know, time will tell whether she's able to complete it. But it looks to me that there's some very interesting things. So I was like thinking to myself after the last episode, like, wow, she's like, she was just in the water also. So she kind of has redeemed herself also. I can't remember if we mentioned that or not.
We did.
But, so, you know, for her to be with that, the group of Mandalorians and being accepted into the tribe or group or whatever, with all the history and all the things that she knows, I mean, it's definitely, you can tell that it's building up to something grandiose. So we'll just have to see if it happens or not.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it's convenient, though, right? Her castle gets bombed, so she can't go back home, right? Because that's what she would have went, right? And she would have went back on her ways, and she would have been alone again and separate from the armor, right? And, but she lost, which I thought was cool, right? The bomb, the TIE bombers bombing her thing. That was cool.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that they shot one of them and then a bunch of other stuff showed up. And then at that point they said, hey, there's too many of them. We need to leave, which if they would have stayed, they probably would have shot them all down. But
maybe they would have gotten the damage that you were hoping for on the ship.
Yeah. Maybe they've been hit a second time.
Yeah.
So, so that thing, so to me, that was like plot worked out because I was worrying. I was wondering because I'd heard some rumors that essentially Bo-Katan and the armor would not be enemies, which we thought they were enemies from hearing them talk from the last time. Right. She didn't like the way she didn't like the people of the watch, and the armor surely didn't like Bo-Katan Kree. She thought she betrayed everybody. Right. So, and somehow in this one episode, they tie enough things together where now she's redeemed, he's redeemed, the armor says it, which I thought was the fact that the armor said, this is water and you are redeemed and all's forgiven without any problem, made any of the rumors or the thoughts that maybe she was like underhanded or trying to get the Darksaber for herself. Threw it out the window, right? So she really is a good.
I don't know if you necessarily could immediately like make that decision on that. I mean, like she totally could just be playing along with the fact that you know that's really what the creed is, and that's you know kind of what her shtick is. But like you have Paz Vizsla there, and he like tried to steal the sword from Mando. So why can't all of a sudden the armorer decides at some point that she feels that she wants it.
Well, you're right. No, you're right. But as I'm starting to feel about this show, I don't think this show wants to spend a bunch of time Mandos fighting Mandos. I think what this show wants to do is similar to the clones. They just want to get past all that, and they want to get to the point where all the Mandos are united against the bad guy they want everyone to hate, right? The runners don't want you to hate half the Mandalorians.
Well, I guess we'll have to find out where that Star Destroyer is and who's on it.
Yeah, who's on it. So the Mandalores, that whole Mandalorian part was so... It was so shortchanged, but they did get a whole lot of crap done in that time, right? That I'm happy. I thought the whole idea of him jumping out of the ship down to his thing, jumping in was just like a really incredible way of getting onto your ship, right? But hey, that's what you could do. That's what you could do when you have jetpacks, right? And most of the time, you know, we would complain about. What I'm glad is that they're making like someone who's actually thinking this up is like a kid thinking about how cool it would be, right? So I don't need to go there. I can just jump down and use my jetpack, right? Why did Boba Fett sit around worrying about getting surrounded by those idiots. Why didn't he just go up in his jetpack and shoot them from when he was surrounded by guys in Book of Boba Fett, right? You know, that's the kind of stuff we think about, and they use it in a cool way to say, hey, listen, I don't even need to land to get this guy onto this plane. I just shoot him out to the airlock, and he can land himself, right? So
yeah,
I thought that all that was ingenious. I thought the amount of money they spent on the all of that stuff was great. And then
yeah, it was a good scene.
Got this whole, I mean, so about this Pershing thing, right? So
okay, yeah,
you know, you and I, my wife looked at this part of the show and she was like, where does the Mandalorian, right? Like, in other words, she was rolling her eyes at this whole thing, right?
A lot of people were.
She is not a fan necessarily of how Andor kind of was put together, right? I mean, right. She didn't hate it, right? But it's not Star Wars to her, right? And it's kind of slow moving and boring, right? It's very slow and methodical, right? She's not into this stuff as much as I am. So for them to go all like, let's slow it down into this now study of, which I loved. I love seeing Coruscant. I love seeing the top of that mountain. I thought that was a really cool piece of lore that I'd heard on in other things they used. They used a concept from Macquarie. The whole idea of the Institute and the amnesty program, right? You expected it to be like some heavy-handed thing, right? Where the New Republic is just as bad as the Empire, and they aren't. They aren't. Every single time they had an opportunity for the New Republic to come across as the villains, they were not, right? Even at the end when they're mind-probing them, right? the freaking Akbar guy was like, listen, we're just going to put it down at the lowest level, and it's actually comforting. I do it myself, right? And you believe them, right? So I don't think the New Republic is not nefarious in this at all, right? So, which I thought was refreshing, right? Because I was like, right. Boy, but does everything have to be so cynical? It's great to see that the New Republic's actually honest. The problem with the New Republic is, if anything, is that they're too nice, right? And that's why the First Order ends up kicking their ass, right? So, which doesn't make any sense either, right? But they were dismantling their fleet, even, right? They said, hey, listen, we gotta take these ships apart because we need to clear the shipyard so we can decommission the Alliance fleet, which I thought was really cool. Right, that they mention it, they say the Alliance fleet. So that means that the New Republic took all the ships of the Rebel Alliance, and they're not considering them really part of the military. They're going to decommission all the stuff from the Alliance. So I dug it. It was slow, and it was kind of silly, and it was reminiscent of Andor in some ways, and they spent way too much time, I guess, trying to get off that train with the tickets, the ticket agents, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't mind it as long as what? Aaron?
I don't know.
What you said?
As long as at the very end there's a surprise ending, I don't know.
No, unless there's some payoff, right? Why do this? Right. Why do this whole thing?
And yes.
If we never see Dr. Pershing again, or if we never see anything from this again, then what was the purpose of it? So
right, I'm in agreement on that. I'm hoping that there's going to be some really good payoff, but I don't know what that will be or if it's true. So
I thought it was interesting, right? He was, so she got him caught. He was going to get some treatment, and then he was going to leave. And she now has the equipment. Right. Somehow she made off with the equipment, which I assume that's
right.
The point of why she did that. Now, he didn't take cloning equipment. He just took lab equipment, which honestly, I'm not sure what she can do with lab equipment versus cloning equipment. But I think it's more nefarious than that. She then turned it up, and
yeah.
He just innocently wanting to make him forget who she was? Or even worse, is she trying to now make him into something where he is like an automaton and she can like she can influence him even more, right? And now get him to help. Like, in other words, does she want him, does she want to leave him on the vines and she escape? Or does she have much more of a plot where she wants him to actually be, you know, she wants to break him down and maybe brainwash him so that he will now go to help out Gideon, Thrawn, or what?
I think it's going to be one of those, but I'm not certain. I mean, I kind of would be sad if, like, so I kind of appreciated Dr. Pershing from the first season of Mandalorian. Because even though he wasn't this kind of guy that seemed like he was brave or, like, outgoing, he seemed like he had some decent ethics. Where he didn't want, you know, Baby Yoda to be killed. He didn't want to do that type of harm to Baby Yoda. And so I kind of like him as a character, and I would be sad if, like, all of a sudden he becomes, like, this really mean, just, like, you know, scientist. But that potentially could be what's happening here. I would hate for him to lose, like, that part of his personality, but it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Did they say, the other thing they name drop? Well, there was a lot of name dropping, or there's a lot of just, like, lore building, which I thought was awesome about it, right? How would the Imperials feel about now being pulled into the New Republic? But someone did mention something about Gideon. And I don't know why I don't remember exactly how they said it. Did they say he escaped or something?
Yes, I think someone said that they heard that he escaped. I can't remember exactly what was said either, but the four of them were sitting around the table.
Yeah, right.
And I can't remember exactly what they said. I think, oh man, I can't remember what they said for certain.
Oh, they said that, and then someone said something like, that's just what they want you to believe. Like, maybe, like, okay, so... So, yeah, I have to look back at the line, but I'm really hoping that he doesn't escape because someone sat down at the table and said, hey, I heard he escaped, right? And then that's how they explain him escaping. But obviously...
I mean, I was kind of hoping that Pershing was going to be put into the cell next to him or something like that, and they were going to escape together.
Right? Yeah, something like that. Now, maybe... Yeah, who knows? Maybe that is what the plan is, right? I don't know. Maybe, I mean, like, obviously, I think she's still working for Gideon, right?
Yeah.
Because there was no reason why she wouldn't be, right? She was working for him in the first season or the second season. So, yeah. So I think obviously I really would have wished they would have. To me, I like this thread. I don't mind this thread going. I would have preferred them to move through it a little more fast, you know, than versus what they did here. Right. I think spending almost 40 minutes doing it was probably they probably could have cramped that down a little bit. They really slowed it down a lot. So, I mean, it was so much, they're really trying to get you to like this person, but did anybody trust this girl from the get go?
No, I mean, like, for the entire episode, I was like, what's she going to do? What's she going to do? What's she going to do? Okay. Like, I was waiting for her to do something the entire episode. And then there was a part where, like, she was laughing and telling jokes. I was like, maybe. And then I was like, no, she's going to be doing something. When's it going to happen? And then, I mean, like, then it happened. And then at the very end of the episode, I was like, wow, you know, not only did she get him caught, but now she's going to, like, turn that dial up. So. Yeah.
So the next episode is supposed to be like only like 30 something minutes long. So people are complaining. Oh. The next episode is going to be shorter than the Pershing part of this episode, right? So, that was an interesting. I don't have a problem with it at all. My only problem with it, if anything, I guess I'm going back on what I just said, is that maybe it could have been done a little more efficient. I would have liked them to move more forward, so you really kind of understand what the the point of that whole piece is. And if the whole point of that was for you to have a knife cliffhanger with him being hanging out on the thing, getting his mind probed, mind flayed, mind flayer.
Mind flayer.
Why are they using that term? Isn't that the term from Stranger Things?
The flayer is, yeah.
Yeah, the mind flayer. I think they even called him a mind flayer. Yeah. The guy, second season. So that was weird when they started using the mind flayer terminology. I was going, is this like a nod to Stranger Things? That's really weird.
Maybe it is. Maybe he loves it.
Yeah, who knows, right? So anyway, so yep, I think we're about out of time.
We are out of time.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I'm really happy with some of the things that happened with the Mandalorian part. I like the fact that now Bo-Katan is with everybody, because I really would like them I want them to move on, right? So this infighting with the Mandalorians is not very interesting to me. So I'd rather them just get together, you know, get to that point. Because honestly, this whole Mandalorian subplot, right, of, hey, we need to go back and Mandalorians need to be back as a culture again. To me, it's not really that interesting to me, right? It is interesting. I want to see it happen, but I want to get past it so that there's other stuff I care about more that's going to happen, like Ahsoka and Ezra and the First Order, I guess, or whatever, right? That kind of stuff. That, to me, this whole Mandalorian subplot of them finding the Mythosaur, likely someone's going to ride it, someone's going to be the new leader, and they're probably going to all be kumbaya singing happy friends at the end of this thing. Can we just move on with that, please? We know that's where it's going. So,
well, let's do it. Let's get there.
Okay. Just don't ask the Bad Bats to get there. It'll take them 9 years.
It wouldn't surprise me. It'll be there. Yes, we'll be. They'll be at episode 2000. They'll still be looking for the planet to live on that's got a tidal wave.
this title. It's so funny what different people pick up of like what really kind of bothers them or really for you, which it bothered me too. This how random that they've never had one in 30 years and they have one in the minute that the idiot Bad Batch.
Yeah, but it's like. It badges here. It's a tidal wave. I almost wanted it to be like a force sensitive animal that was causing it.
Yeah,
and like, and its head like popped up and was like, "Omega, is that you?"
But I thought it was. You know, oh man, you know what I thought it was? I thought they were actually going to be freaking cool when they first started feeling the rumbling. Right? They say, "Hey, what's?" And then I love it. What's his name? Gets up and he's like, he can feel it. He knows something's happening. Right. What I was hoping is they take a big wide shot over the island and a Star Destroyer would be coming up over the island. And that was the rumble that they felt.
That would have been
better, right? Now they're being chased. Now these idiots chase them to this nice place and all these lovely people, including the old man, might get shot by crumbling rocks because the Star Destroyer starts shooting at the city. People have to band together.
Man, you wanted this to go like dark.
Well, no.
And then they focused on the man laying down on the ground, breathing his last breaths.
No.
With the rocks pushed away.
I wanted to go as tense as they made this show with the tidal wave. Except instead of having the bad guy be a tidal wave that no one can get mad at, have it be the Empire.
Yeah.
That's all. Same thing. Yeah, everyone can run the ladders, the old man, the almost dying, all that could happen. Just not water. Be it bad guys, right? So that would have been more to me, more tense, because that's where we want it to go, right? Don't you want the Empire to show up and maybe capture Omega so we can get her?
So
we can move this forward, right?
I want something to happen. Yeah, I want something to happen.
Okay, would you say, you know what I really want now? Is I really want a natural disaster that might almost scratch one of their nails? Do we want it? Is that what you're hoping for?
No. Let's continue on with the Empire.
Yeah.
Anyone that wants to tell me about how they feel about the Empire, you can find me at DXD Podcast all day long, all day strong.
And you can find me at MarkMe50K. So until then, to all the folks enjoying.
Happy trading.
Happy trading. And I can't wait to see next week. I think Bad Bath has to be a better episode than last week. And
I would say so.
And I think Mandalorian's going to have to be a – it wasn't a bad episode, but it would have to be one more that we're kind of expecting.
I'm assuming it's going to be 30 minutes of pure enjoyment.
Yep.
This upcoming week. Yep. TTFN.
All right. See you then. Bye.
You.